just a bit about the early founding foundations, Melvin, that you went to. You had to go to some of those and only pitch a dream, and we want to build a children's museum in Seminole. On the face of that, it doesn't sound like, oh, I can get really excited about it.
Well, that was exactly right. During the years before, I have served on a lot of various boards and commissions around the state. So I know a lot of people, and I always had just been a good member of a committee or a board and just did my yeoman's work. But I found out that meeting people makes a whole lot of difference. When we were going to start our fundraising, here I'm the chairman of the fundraising committee, so I needed a plan. Not knowing anything about fundraising, I thought I'm a pretty good writer, and I would compose a really good letter about what a wonderful project this is. And I would send out 200 copies to 200 companies and people that might send some money. I thought we'll have the money that we'll need in 2 weeks, and we'll be open in 6 months. And that was my thought. Well, I ran into Nancy Anthony, and Nancy was and is the director of the Oklahoma City Community Foundation. And I was telling her what I was planning to do. She said, Melvin, if you follow through with your plan, you'll be very lucky to raise enough money to pay for those 200 stamps. She said, what you have to do, you have to go to people you know. Again, I knew quite a few people, and the first thing that I felt that you had to have something to show them what a children's museum is, because there were none in Oklahoma, very few in the country, and most, probably not one out of 1,000 Oklahomans had ever heard of a children's museum, much less seen one. So we needed something visual. I had this video that I took of the Flint Children's Museum. Meanwhile, there was one in Denver where we have a daughter living. We went to Denver and took a video of that one.
Marilyn was also in the video production company. Mm-hmm. Our daughter mm-hmm. was building her little business for herself in the video production company in Indiana. She knew a lot of people there, and she was very good with visual things. So we asked her help, and she came and helped us. She made us an actual video.
She took my two videos together, the one I took in Flint and one in Denver. She composed a video for it, and my video was so bad and so amateurish that she had some little 4 and 5 year old kids with a camera shooting pictures, because she said that the video I took was like a 4 or 5 year old would take. And she put them together, and she composed a theme song for us, and her children sang the theme song,
which was Jasmine Moran Children's Museum.
In Seminole.
I forgot how it went. No. It started out anyway that way, and it had a little jingle to it.
It was an excellent video.
Everyone counts, I remember.
Right. And we needed to show it to people. In those days, very few offices had a combination TV-VCR to show a video. So we felt the only thing we could do would be to buy one that we could take with us. Well, I was so proud of this video, I didn't want them to see a little video the size of a postcard. I wanted them to see a big video. So I bought a TV-VCR combination, a console, a really big one. Well, one of the first presentations that we made was to Kerr McGee. We picked them thinking of what Nancy Anthony had told me. Frank McPherson was the president of Kerr McGee, and I served with him on a board, so I knew him a little bit. I sent him a letter and said, we have this project. Could I have an appointment to come and see if Kerr McGee might participate? A few days later, I received a call from the chief counsel and a vice president of Kerr McGee. His name was Tom McDaniel. More recently, he was the president of Oklahoma City University. He called and he said, Frank got your letter. He asked me to see you about your project. Made an appointment with Frank. And this TV VCR, this really big one, got it in the trunk of my car. I mean, it was so big, you couldn't close the trunk at all. I just had to wire around this. I drive to Oklahoma City by myself. The nearest place I could park to the downtown Kerr McGee building where their headquarters was 2 blocks away. Somehow, I got this big piece of furniture out of the trunk of my car. I started carrying it to the Kerr McGee building. I would go 2 or 3 steps and then rest, and 2 or 3 steps and rest, and went all that way up in the elevator. I got to Tom McDaniel's office. I have this big piece of furniture with me, and as soon as I get in his office, he said, Melvin, he said, I got a level with you. Our giving budget for this year is already completely gone. But if you will come back next year, he said, we'll try to help you. And I said, Tom, I've carried this all the way up here. Could I show you this video? It's about a 10-minute video, and if you could give me the time. He said, sure. As we played the video, I could see that he was getting emotionally involved in it. At the end of the video, he said, Melvin, tell me how Kerr McGee can help you. And he gave us a very nice grant. what we used this grant for, this particular one, we bought a robot. And we found a robot in Dallas. And the robot was wonderful because you could have someone out of sight a considerable distance away and make the robot move. I mean, it could move its arms and it could walk and it could talk. And kids would just be amazed. We took this robot around with us to advertise a museum, and Kerr-McGee had some functions, and we took the robot to their function. We named him Kermie for Kerr-McGee. That was probably our first success.
Then Molly and David helped us a great deal.
They did.
And also Robert Henry. I don't know what we'd have done without the dinners and the invitations to people that he would invite to his dinners.
It was amazing the number of people that helped us, but also the number of people who gave us money, and some of them lots of money. And they said later, we didn't know how to say no to you, but we never, ever expected the doors to be open. We didn't think that this project could ever come about.
In the beginning of Southwestern Bell helping us, Molly and I were very good friends. We had a lot in common. Our husbands are overactive nuts, and they never stay still. She's always worn out, and so am I. So anyway, we used to talk about our problems together. And she had me join a board of the Oklahoma Arts Institute, which has a summer camp. I don't know if you've ever been to it, down at
Quartz Mountain.
Oh, it's a beautiful place. Yeah. And I was on the board for quite a number of years. When I first went on the board, in my very first meeting, most of the board members were there already. And the one man that came across to talk to me was a man called Ted DeAndrel. Oh, he said, new blood, I'm going to put you on my committee. And I said, new blood for you too. I said, I'm going to put you on my committee. So I went on his committee, and he came on mine. He helped me with the Children's Museum, and that's how we got Southwestern Bell.
He was the vice
wonderful, wonderful donors and sponsors.
He was the vice president of Southwestern Bell, and then he got the president involved. Since that time, every president of Southwest Bell, which is now AT&T, has been one of our board members. They've been wonderful supporters, right?
What about our little Ford, Model T? That was David Bourne got us that.
We were at a OIPA, Oklahoma Independent Petroleum Association, annual meeting in Shangri-La before the museum opened, and David was talking about this place that was coming to his hometown. And shortly after the meeting, a woman from Bartlesville, her name was Claudine Green, came over to Jasmine and me and said, my father died last week, and his pride and joy was his 1921 Model T. Our family would like for you to have it to put in the Children's Museum for kids to enjoy.
We asked what we had to do. Did we have to put a fence around it or what? And she said, oh, no. Our families all played on it and pretended they're driving in it and everything. She said, we want it to be used. And they have put it in our museum and kept it refurbished all the time. Every time it starts to look a little tacky, they take it out, get it refurbished, and bring it back to us.